Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. Remind you, the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests in you. For more information, www.mecu.com. And just like Beverly Brooke will be coming in at the end of this half hour to give you more of the breaking news. Four people have been killed, 12 have been shot in Washington, D.C., Navy Yard. They haven't caught the they have one shooter contained. They say the other one is still at large. All D.C. airports are closed in case you're planning on flying out from there right now. More details coming up later with Beverly Burke. Just want to let you know that. We are here with Charles Lawler, who is a former Marine, who is a businessman, who is running to become the next governor of the state of Maryland in the Republican Party primary. He's got to win first. Good to see you, Charles.
You know what, Mark? What an honor to be back with you, buddy.
Good to see you. So tell
me. Yes, sir.
Now, why did you choose to run? What motivated you to do this run?
You know, the biggest thing was the environment here. The unemployment in Baltimore City, 11.4% unemployment alone. Over 10,000 businesses closed down in Baltimore City. The hopelessness in our great city. And then, of course, our state. We've seen 1.4 million Marylanders between 2000 and 2010 leave our state, taking with them almost $5 billion in revenues. There's the excess taxes. You have the rain tax now. You have a progressive gas tax that will continue to go up every year for the next 5 years. To be the third wealthiest state in the country, you'd think that we wouldn't have to be taxed as much. And even our kids in college, I was at Bowie State University last week. We're coming to Morgan State University and University of Maryland in College Park. Kids can't even get a job when they graduate and transition out of college. There's time and a place, in my opinion, for partisan politics. Right now in Maryland, this is not the time or place. We need to get people working. We need to convince our businesses to stay here. We need to get our employees and citizens, get them a job, to be honest with you, Mark. So with 14 and a half years in business, 16 years in the Marine Corps, I thought it would be a good time for us and for our team to mobilize and do all we can to be a part of Maryland's future vision and success.
Folks, join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Log on to our Facebook pages. Tweet us at Mark Steiner as we talk with Charles Lawler, who's running for the Republican nomination to be the next governor of the state of Maryland. 410-319-8888, your questions for him. I saw in the paper the other day that you, when you were commenting on the tiff that went on between two of the Democratic candidates, the lieutenant governor and the attorney general, over the comments made about lieutenant governor running because he's black, you took particular umbrage at that.
I did, because I'm really, really tired of posing questions, comments, or policies to everyday Marylanders that are specifically based upon race. You'd think with 7.3% unemployment across the state, almost 9.5% unemployment in Prince George's County, you'd think they'd find something more important and intellectually stimulated to talk about. We have people making life and death decisions at gas tanks where they're deciding whether to put another 3 gallons in or buy bread, milk, and cheese for their family. And the only thing that those on the other side of the aisle at this point can find to talk about is who is black enough to run in a Democrat primary. To me, it's an embarrassment. But I think, by and large, we've lost perspective. I don't think I know. We've lost perspective to providing solutions. And we've made it about party. We've made it about color. In some cases, we've made it about gender. Here's what we're doing, Mark. We're going around the state of Maryland saying this. Absent of your party affiliation and absent of your skin color, what issues here in Maryland are you struggling with? And here's real solutions that can help. Let's stop the growth of government, at least beyond the cost of living. It doesn't make sense for us to take more money out of you all's pockets, especially when it's your money that funds the state government here in Maryland. Let's get people working again. Let's stop outside governors from other states coming into our state to convince our states, to convince our businesses to come to their state, because people realize we're losing business at the rapid rate. Mark, did you know, for example, 33% of our manufacturing jobs have left Maryland over the past 9 to 10 years?
But you can't put all of that
No.
At the doorstep of any governor, Republican or Democrat, because our manufacturing jobs have been fleeing this country for the last 40 years, 50 years.
Fleeing the state, though, Mark, is what I'm talking about, per capita. And when you look at state-by-state comparison, we've had more manufacturing companies leave our state than any of the other surrounding states in our region combined, Mark. Not for international opportunity, but for other states. For example, in 2010, here's something specific for you. We SAIC, Volkswagen, Hilton, and Northrop Grumman were looking to come to Maryland to set their corporate and satellite offices. Instead, they chose Virginia, not Thailand, not Britain, not China. They chose Virginia.
Well, some people would argue, make the pushback here a little bit, but people would argue the reason that they did that was because they were holding Maryland hostage to give them deals.
No.
Whether it's true, though, to make them even meet the corporate officers of the corporations even wealthier than they are today.
No.
And that was the reason that they didn't stay here.
And brother, I'll be honest with you, that is not accurate. If that were the case, why would they go to Virginia? Why are businesses going to Delaware?
Because they got the deals they wouldn't get here, they got there.
Why are businesses going to Pennsylvania? Here's the problem with that. At the end of the day, it's still our citizens that don't have a job. It's still our citizens that suffer at 11.6% unemployment in Baltimore City. These facts cannot be disputed.
So how would you cure that? How would you cure that?
First thing we do is we pass a taxpayer's bill of rights in the state.
Which means what?
That boldly states that your state government cannot grow any faster than cost of living. Period from now on. So if your paycheck, if you don't get paid more than 1 or 2% of an increase at the end of the year, your government should not grow any faster than 1 or 2% at the end of the year. Secondly, we create opportunities, whether we do it through enterprise zones or otherwise, to incentivize businesses to employ our people here in Maryland and come in to Maryland to set up their corporate and satellite offices. Take a look at Prince George's County, for example. Over 60% of those residents make their commute into D.C. because they work in D.C. for federal and state government opportunities. Why not demand through partnership some of those federal government agencies to bring their satellite offices into Prince George's County instead of going into Virginia, into Fairfax County, but right here in Prince George's? It would help the commute issue and it would put people to work. My whole focus to run for governor is not to be the priest of governor, but to be the governor of the state of Maryland, where I'm responsible for every penny you send to Annapolis and responsible for helping to create the right environment to create jobs so we can get everyday Marylanders working.
So then how does the state then pay for roads, which they can't?
Yes, they can.
And how does the state continue to pay for education?
That's a great question.
The people,
they will
start cutting. If you
Mark,
cutting back.
No. They will continue to pay for education. See, that's the huge trick that's done every time in partisan politics. Well, you know what? If we scale back on cutting taxes, if we do the best we can to bring business in our state, then you're going to rob education. You're going to rob transportation. That's just absolutely not true. The three largest expenditures in the Maryland state budget is secondary and primary education and health and human services. The problem is not that we don't fund education. In fact, we're the top education funder in the country. The problem is the money doesn't get to the classrooms. They stay stuck in administration.
So how would that change under your administration?
Well, tremendously.
In a literal sense, what would that mean?
Tremendously in so many ways. We're going to ask the Department of Education, as well as teachers, to get directly involved in the budgetary process as far as we can go. We want to push as much of the opportunity to make those decisions to the county and local levels and not at the state level. Where the state, in my opinion, where the counties and the local officers, in my opinion, they should have the responsibility and the burden to make sure those dollars get to the everyday classrooms of citizens. The Transportation Trust Fund has been robbed every year for the past 9 years. Robbed, not to build roads, but for pet projects that have been happening and doing across the state of Maryland. The problem is not we don't have the money for it, Mark. The problem is the misuse and misappropriation of funds. I am not going to let Marylanders get wrapped and fooled into this idea that if we manage responsible government and take care of our citizens and get them jobs, that transportation is going to be robbed and roads won't be taken care of and our bridges won't be taken care of and our education will suffer. No, they will not. In fact, we'll get even more revenues. And under our administration, it'll stay where it's supposed to in transportation and not elsewhere in other places.
Have you picked the lieutenant governor to run with you?
We have. We're going through the vetting process right now. In about 3.5 to 4 short weeks, we'll make an announcement. And somewhere around the 1st of January, we'll do another statewide tour with our lieutenant governor. We've got a couple in mind.
So now, you, before we go on the air, I said to you that this is going to be a tough Republican primary.
Yes, sir.
You've got people like David Craig running, who's been on the show before, talking about his candidacy.
Yes, sir.
And you said, I don't know, you said there was a poll that put you ahead.
Now, oh, yes,
where
sir.
Was that poll?
There's two separate polls. One's Red, White, and Blue Maryland. You can check that one out. That has about 20 points ahead based upon 540 people in that poll. The other one is Red Maryland. They had just under 800 people in their poll.
Oh, the website, Red Maryland.
Yes, sir. That they put us about 5 to 7 points ahead. So we're anywhere between, I don't know, 20 to 7 points ahead. I'd say, honest assessment scientifically, we're probably roughly 8% points ahead of our nearest contender, which would be David Craig. We're mobilized across the entire state of Maryland and all 23 counties in Baltimore City. We have we've just began an aggressive fundraising campaign. We just had the current chair or commissioner of the Frederick County Commission Board, Blaine Young, come on board and endorse us for governor, as well as Dr. Ben Carson, who's endorsed us for governor. So the list continues to grow. We continue to get stronger and stronger, and we'll come through our primary and win, and I think we're going to surprise a lot of people and win the general.
So politically, where would you put yourself? Do you call yourself – we've had this conversation.
Yes,
sir. Been on the show a number of times over the years.
Yes, sir.
You put yourself in the Tea Party camp. Is that fair to say?
It is not fair to say. Well, not at all. It's not fair to say.
Then take it back.
It's not fair to say. Here's where we put ourselves. We don't like labels. I never have. Like the whole idea of who is Republican, who is independent, who is Democrat. I do believe, or who's in a Tea Party or not, I do believe for some purposes those titles are important, but not in the state that we're in. When I become the governor of Maryland, I'm not the Tea Party candidate, I'm not the Republican candidate, I'm not the Democrat candidate, and I'm not the independent candidate. I am the governor of all Marylanders, regardless of your background, regardless of your orientation, regardless of your faith. I am the governor of Maryland. My responsibility is to make sure I create the best climate, not political climate, but the best fiscal climate for Marylanders to succeed, an environment to go to school, to get a degree, to get a job, and to prosper in our great state, in my opinion, one of the greatest states in the union. So I don't like to pigeonhole myself to one party or another. Am I running on a Republican ticket? Absolutely I am, and I am because of most of the values on the Republican Party I attain to more so than most of the values on the Democrat Party.
Now, you've been on the show before many times, and one of the last times you were here, you were debating the DREAM Act. You remember that? We had the
live. Oh, yes, sir, I do.
Remember that?
Oh, yes, sir, I do.
We did that together. And then but that passed.
Yes, sir, it did.
Marriage equality passed.
Yes, sir, it did.
Well, you were opposed to marriage equality?
Yeah, I was opposed. Let's be careful. I was opposed to redefining the word marriage. I will never be opposed to people choosing who they want to spend the rest of their life with. That's not my business. That is not an opposition whatsoever. And I want to make sure that is clear, brother. I am not opposed to people making choices, as I said last time on your show, of who they want to partnership with. My concern, however, is redefining the word marriage. That is something I think that's well beyond our purview to do.
So now, but those things are law. Both those things are law in Maryland now.
Yes, sir.
If you were governor, how would you relate to that? And do you think they've hurt the state because they did pass?
I don't know if they've hurt the state or not. Let's be clear, Mark, that and be exact. My job is not – both those issues went before a referendum. Maryland has spoken. I'm the governor of all Marylanders. It's not my job to overturn when Maryland has spoken. Anything that goes on a referendum and the majority of Marylands pass it, I am bound. I've bound myself to support it and move forward, not to overturn it. That's not my job. When it comes to something like the Second Amendment, however, I do anticipate putting that before a referendum.
What do you mean?
The Second Amendment bill, the bill currently out there that restricts the purchase of different types of weapons and ammunition for everyday Marylanders. That didn't go before a referendum. That absolutely needs to.
So now what would that bill look like? What would the referendum look like for Charles Lawler? What would it say?
It would just re-ask the question whether or not you believe you have the right as a Maryland citizen or an American citizen to purchase any type of weapon you want, assault or otherwise.
How many? No limit? Any kind of weapon you want? Assault weapon? Shotgun? Automatic pistols?
Mark,
anything.
As long as you prescribe to the law and you prescribe to background checks and you're mentally stable according to those background checks to do so, absolutely.
So that's interesting. That could be an interesting debate to have. When we have the debates, we'll have to bring that issue up.
Yes, sir.
So what are the top three priorities for you in the state of Maryland?
Jobs, jobs, and jobs.
That's it, just jobs?
No, sir. But I tell you what, those are certainly the top three. obviously, it's going to be the safety of our citizens here in Maryland. It's going to be the a better usage of our harbors, both specifically our Baltimore Harbor. We keep chasing off business. We just lost Carnival. I'm sure you know about that. Well, we're in the process, too. Also, the tax. The rain tax. That's a huge issue for me, for us to take a look at, reevaluate, and overturn. The gas tax. That's a huge issue for me, for us to reevaluate and overturn. The flush tax, all of these taxes that we need to look at and take a real, trained, firm eye at the budget to find out where these dollars and cents flow. What I don't want people to think is that we're going to take this axe approach to lining up to ensure that our budget's balanced. You know this as well as I do. We depend upon about $9.3 billion in revenue from the federal government in form of stimulus and grants to help balance our $34 billion budget. My hope and my vision for the state of Maryland is to completely come off that so that we can pay our bills with simply the tax dollars that we collect here in our state so we can make our state more self-efficient when it comes to budgetary issues.
So how would you fund roads if you don't have to raise the gas tax?
Again, that is absolutely the trick. And we've got to be sure that Marylanders understand the money is there for roads. The money is there for transportation. The money is there for education. Just because a legislature comes on your show or on TV and says, we have to raise these taxes for thus and so transportation, et cetera, doesn't mean it's 100% accurate. In fact, most of the time it's dead wrong. Just take a look at this gambling bill. They told citizens this gambling bill in Prince George's County, bringing MGM in, was specifically targeted for education. Then they turned around and said it's going to go toward building 210. Which is it? Education or 210? Politicians lie every time, Mark. I'm not going to let you and I get caught up in a conversation about whether or not we can afford transportation and education, because we can, regardless of these taxes.
Very quick question. We only have about 2 minutes left in this segment. We will have you back.
Yes, sir.
Are there too many people in our Maryland state prisons? Are there too many black men in our Maryland state prisons for nonviolent crimes? How would you change that?
Without question, there is. We have to do a better job investing in nonprofits and finding opportunities through those nonprofits that want to invest in making our men and our women better, not worse criminals, but better citizens. We have to find opportunities and segues into our communities. Instead of spending $100 million to build 100 more beds in Baltimore City Jail, why not spend that same $100 million to help take our citizens, specifically men and women that are in prison, to provide for them an opportunity to come out and live better lives, or how about this, prevent them from going in the first place?
Charles Lawler, former Marine, Major, retired, chairman of New Day Maryland PAC, Republican candidate for seeking the Republican nomination in the primary next June, will be on the show a number of times between now and then, so we can hear him and maybe have a Republican debate on the show with Charles Lawler in studio and the rest. Thank you, Charles. Good to see you.
Mark, thank you.
Good to have you here.
Yes, sir.
The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Marvonis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our intern is Tara Smith. You can hear the show again, podcast or past shows, find information about people like Charles Lawler by going to steinershow.org. You can also listen to and download our podcast on iTunes. And right now we're going to turn this over to Beverly Burke to give us an update on what's happening in the Naval Shipyard in Washington, D.C. So I'm Mark Steiner for WEAFM, Voice of the Community. Take care. Beverly?